Jesus breaks down in tears. Jesus gazed upon the scene, and the multitude hushed their shouts, spellbound by the sudden vision of beauty. All eyes turned upon the Savior. They were surprised and disappointed to see his eyes fill with tears and his body rock to and fro like a tree before the tempest. A wail of anguish burst from his quivering lips, as if from a broken heart. What a sight for angels to behold! What a sight for the glad throng that were escorting him to the glorious city, where they hoped he was about to reign. This sudden sorrow was like a note of wailing in a grand triumphal chorus. Israel's king was in tears, not silent tears of gladness, but of insuppressible agony. The multitude were struck with a sudden gloom. Many wept in sympathy with a grief they could not comprehend. Just before Jesus was Gethsemane, where soon the horror of a great darkness would overshadow him. The sheep gate also was in sight, through which for centuries the beasts for sacrificial offerings had been led. This gate was soon to open for him, the great antitype, toward whose sacrifice all these offerings had pointed. Nearby was Calvary, the scene of his approaching agony. Yet his was no selfish sorrow. The thought of his own agony did not intimidate that noble, self-sacrificing soul. It was the sight of Jerusalem that pierced the heart of Jesus, Jerusalem that had rejected the Son of God, scorned his love, and was about to take his life. He saw what she might have been had she accepted him who alone could heal her wound. How could he give her up? Israel had been a favored people, God had made their temple his habitation, it was beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. In it Jehovah had manifested his glory, the priests had officiated, and the pomp of symbol and ceremony had gone on for ages. But all this must have an end. Jesus waved his hand toward the doomed city, and in grief exclaimed, "If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace." The Savior left unsaid what might have been the condition of Jerusalem had she accepted the help that God desired to give her, the gift of his Son. Jerusalem might have stood forth in the pride of prosperity, the Queen of Kingdoms, free in the strength of her God-given power, no Roman banners waving from her walls. The Son of God saw that she might have been liberated from bondage and established as the mighty metropolis of the earth. From her walls the dove of peace would have gone forth to all nations. She would have been the world's diadem of glory. But the Savior realized she now was under the Roman yoke, doomed to God's retributive judgment, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Jesus saw the doomed city encompassed with armies, the besieged inhabitants driven to starvation and death, mothers feeding on the dead bodies of their children, and parents and children snatching the last morsel of food from one another, natural affection destroyed by the gnawing pangs of hunger. He saw that the stubbornness of the Jews would lead them to refuse submission to the invading armies. He beheld Calvary set with crosses as thickly as forest trees. He saw the beautiful palaces destroyed, the temple in ruins, and of its massive walls not one stone left on another, while the city was plowed like a field. As a tender father mourns over a wayward son, so Jesus wept over the beloved city. How can I give thee up? How can I see thee devoted to destruction? When the westering sun should pass from sight, Jerusalem's day of grace would be ended. While the procession was halting on Olivet, it was not yet too late for Jerusalem to repent. While the last rays of the setting sun were lingering on temple, tower, and pinnacle, would not some good angel lead her to the Savior's love? Beautiful, unholy city, that had stoned the prophets and rejected the Son of God, her day of mercy was almost spent. Yet again the Spirit of God would speak to Jerusalem. Before the day was done, another testimony would be born to Christ. If Jerusalem would receive the Savior entering her gates, she might yet be saved. But the rulers in Jerusalem had no welcome for the Son of God. As the procession was about to descend the Mount of Olives, they intercepted it, inquiring the cause of the tumult. As they questioned, "Who is this?" The disciples, filled with the spirit of inspiration, repeated the prophecies concerning Christ. Adam will tell you, "It is the seed of the woman that shall bruise the serpent's head." See. Abraham will tell you, "It is Melchizedek, king of Salem, king of peace." See. Isaiah will tell you, "Emmanuel, wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Jeremiah will tell you, "The branch of David, the Lord our righteousness." Daniel will tell you, "He is the Messiah, the Anointed One." See. John the Baptist will tell you, "He is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." The great Jehovah has proclaimed, "This is my beloved Son." We, his disciples, declare, "This is Jesus, the Messiah, the Prince of Life, the Redeemer of the world." And the Prince of the Powers of Darkness acknowledges him, "I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God."